It's time for Windows Weekly. Oh boy, oh boy. This is going to be a show. We're going to talk about the automatic Windows 10 installs. Is that real? News on Windows Phone that's, well, caused me to take away Paul's shoelaces and belt and a whole lot more, including some looks ahead at Build. It's all next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly, episode 457, recorded Wednesday, March 16th, 2016. We're not gonna take it. Windows Weekly is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/Windows. And by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to Harry's.com. For a limited time, new customers can get a free trial and pay just $3 for shipping by going to harrys.com/windows. And by Drobo, a family of safe and expandable and easy-to-use storage arrays. Drobos are designed to protect your important data forever. Visit drobo.com/twit and use the code TWIT100 to save $100 off select Drobos, including the new BA10i. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft with these lovely two. On your left, Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com, a fabulous ZDNet blog where she covers, well, Microsoft. It could cover other things, but it would kind of belie the name.
It would.
Yeah. All About Microsoft. And Paul Theriot, he could cover anything he wants because the name of his blog, Theriot.com.
Yep.
Whatever Paul wants to talk about. Do you ever cover anything besides Windows?
I wrote about Ouija boards the other day.
Really? So so what do you think, Paul? Do they work?
Not in my experience.
Oh, okay.
Unless the ghost I was talking to was dyslexic and used numbers instead of letters.
The answer would be
it's like
no.
RE7, curious.
Yeah, that's because you're playing with non-cooperative children. They don't believe, Paul. You've got to get them to believe.
Right.
Although, you know, what you do is you tell them, well, this is scary stuff. We probably shouldn't use this Ouija board because it opens a portal to another world that could be very dangerous. And then they'll believe.
The place is called France.
Send me some pâté.
Are they talking in tongues? No, that's French.
It's French. We are talking about Windows is what we're doing here, and I guess we should, wait a minute, I'm on the wrong day because I see these top stories, SQL Server coming to Linux. It's still coming to Linux, right?
Oh, God, Leo, not again.
And actually, the funny thing is, during the show, we said, well, you know, Microsoft should just do their own distro, and after the show, they said, yeah, we're going to do a distro, too.
Well,
sort of, right?
Not exactly.
Yes, a sort of distro, yeah.
Sort of distro. Yeah. So the big story, go ahead, Mary Jo, why don't you talk about this now, because you're not going to be able to later.
Hold on, I know, right?
Like, get it out of the way.
Yeah.
So that thing that everybody kept saying, Microsoft's releasing its own Linux distro, it's not really. Oh. It's Linux inside of a switch. And yeah. So that's all.
I could see him doing it. It's so strange, I mean, to see a company that for years reviled Linux.
It is.
Called it a cancer.
Yep.
Now
things change.
Things change, exactly.
Yeah.
People change sometimes. Things change.
Yeah. Satya and Linus sitting in a tree.
You know, it is weird. Of course, in the world we live in, we deal with people of very long memories. And there are people who blame or like to see Microsoft suffer today because of something they did in the 1990s, for example.
Right.
You know, this is the same company that said Linux was a cancer. You know, not exactly. I mean, in name, it is the same company, but the executive ranks have shuffled dramatically. People have come and gone. Times have changed. The company has adapted with those times. I always equate these kind of things like, you know, this is like being mad at Germany today for World War II. You know, at some point, you got to get over it. You know, we agreed there were mistakes and they happened in the past and those were different people and let's move on. I mean, it's strange to me how often I see that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
like
it's
the
unfair.
Steven Ulop thing.
Everybody, you know what Dvorak always said is foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of small minds.
Oh, I love the word hobgoblin. It's so great. It's
all
so better. It's
use
much better
hobgoblin
than a regular
hobgoblin in a sentence.
That's the headline. That's even better.
So awesome.
It's Thoreau, I
necessary,
think.
It's just a beautiful word.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't. We do that in with politicians too. Not to get into politics talk, but we call them flip floppers if they change their mind.
Yeah. Yeah. When in fact you should be.
You should be
saluting somebody who
them.
Can change with the times and, given
right.
more information,
right.
potentially change their stance on a controversial topic
right.
or whatever.
I think so.
Yep. Yep.
Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about.
No.
We are. We might as well.
That said, I can't stand the fact that Microsoft is supporting Linux. I just want to be real clear with that.
You know,
you're going to get past this. You are.
I'm putting Linux on everything now. I love, because what I figured out is I don't have to use Mint Linux. I just mm-hmm. use their desktop environment, Cinnamon, on Ubuntu, and I've got a really nice setup.
You just said a huge number of nonsense words.
Not as bad as Hadoop on Azure.
That even meant. It sounded like a recipe, and then it turned into something about Linux.
All right, let's talk, because I didn't believe it. I know you didn't believe it, Paul. Mm-hmm. Andrew Zarian sent you a screenshot, and we still thought somebody somewhere clicked yes. But it's,
well, I don't know. I mean, does anyone, have we changed our minds in this?
I have. I've talked to numerous people now, and I've quizzed them, who say overnight, without any additional clicking, mm-hmm. Microsoft upgraded my Windows 7 to Windows 10. We had a guy sitting right here in front of me who said, no, I understand. It's supposed to say, are you sure you want to? Now, I think this is a bug. I don't think Microsoft's doing that on purpose.
By the way, that's exactly what I think as well. That if this is happening, it's not some malicious scheme. You know, Microsoft went back to the 1990s, found its evil soul, and then came back with it to the
it
present.
It would be unconscionable to do that, and I don't think Microsoft.
It doesn't.
I think it's pretty evil, but I'm not convinced that they're doing anything they didn't say they were going to do.
Yeah.
Well, we knew that they said they were going to put it in recommended updates.
Right, mm-hmm. which they did.
Which means for most people, the default is install
and
critical
and recommended.
And
I think this is what has triggered this latest spate of stories, right? Yeah. The change over to recommended.
Yep.
Right?
But we have said again and again that even if it downloads, because it's a recommended update, it will present you with how many dialogues? At least one.
At least two, right. I think.
Two that will say...
Not so much dialogues, but points where you have to explicitly say yes.
Yeah.
Right.
The problem, Leo, is you're bringing logic to a to something that defies logic. It's like trying to explain Visual Basic to somebody. You can look at it and say, this is clearly, based on what I'm seeing, this is how it will work. And that's not how it works. And that's what this is.
But Andrew said it was a Skype machine that no one is sitting in front of that upgraded itself spontaneously.
But do you not understand how much Andrew drinks? I mean,
well, and a lot of these are people, IT guys saying, yeah, my customers. And that's not, I don't think that you can trust that because customers we've trained them to click OK, right?
Right. Right. And plus, you know, I think a lot of these things are happening overnight. People have their automatic updates set to install overnight. They come to their machine in the morning. They see something that is a EULA, which they may or may not know. And they go, oh, yeah, okay, click.
Right.
That means you just agreed. That's why I say I think it is a little evil and it is a little bit of trickery on Microsoft's part.
It's like a social engineering thing in a way that we know that people just click through EULAs.
Yep.
Sometimes EULAs, by the way, do appear in Windows Update. You get a pop-up that says, oh, you got to agree to this for some reason, whatever it might be.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I definitely think that's part of it.
I do think, though, having now spoken to at least a dozen people, that there is a bug or something that is doing the install without the EULAs, without the OKs. Yeah. Not intentional.
I asked about this
last
week after the show. I went to Microsoft and I said, you know, you guys did have a bug before. Remember last fall when they accident? It was an accident that they started putting it on people's machines who had said no, like mine. They say there is not a bug. They say there's no accidents happening. And they say they're investigating when people will let them. They're actually looking into their files if they ask them to. And they're seeing that some people actually forgot that they said yes in June. They're seeing some people who just have the automatic update set so that it automatically installs and up to the point of the EULA, and then they just are clicking yes, not really realizing what's happening. So they are saying there is not a bug, for whatever that's worth. Yeah.
So they're in effect, they're denying it. They're saying no.
They're saying no.
Doesn't happen. However many people tell you that it happened, it doesn't happen.
Right. And I'm not calling liars. All these users liars.
Well, that's the problem. I don't want to say to people, oh, no, you clicked. You just don't know it. But that's kind of patronizing.
And it is. Right. Right.
Yeah.
But if you look at a couple of these things, like Kotaku had somebody on there who said, my PC upgraded itself to Windows 10 without asking and then broke. Then when you read the post, he's saying, well, I think I didn't set it to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
So I think people are like, well, wait, did I say that at some point? And then the question that I don't know the answer to is, if you're like me and I did reserve a copy on this machine that has Windows 7, then I undid it and said I didn't want the copy. I don't know if it'll still automatically update on my machine or not.
Well, okay, and let's clarify. When you say update, mean download and present you with the EULA.
Right.
At which point you could say no, and it would not install.
Yeah, I mean, you still...
No. If you get to the EULA part, it has installed already.
Oh.
But you have to click OK, and then if you decline, it rolls you back to your previous operating system.
That is a precarious state to put a computer into.
Yes, it is.
I don't think people understand how unreliable that rollback thing can be. Yeah. That's a very dangerous thing to do to your computer if you don't have a backup.
Technically, it did install.
I would say yes, it did.
Technically, it installed without permission.
Yep.
Or
all it did do was the final
gave it
bit.
Permission.
When you say gave it permission, you mean you said install recommended updates.
Yep.
That's not giving it permission.
It's like a vampire where you invite it into your house and then it's just over. I mean,
if you say is it not the default for Windows that you install critical and recommended? I can't remember.
It is. That is the default.
So it's not that you gave it permission. You are just sitting. If you sit with the defaults, Windows 10 will install.
Yes, but you're the one who has the option to change the default.
But as Paul points out, the rollback. Okay, so you... Oh, no, that's... No, I'm sorry, Mary Jo. That's not...
I'm not... Guys, by the way...
I'm sorry. If you have to proactively change the default, then you're not accepting Windows 10 at any point.
I am not defending Microsoft at all on this.
Yeah.
I think this is horrible that they're doing this. I think it's wrong.
Yeah.
I think it's trickery. And I think even though they say, you know what, we're doing it for the good of the customer because it's a better operating system, more secure.
No, sorry.
I agree. I think you should have the option to choose
I'll take it even a step further. I don't think it's enough to throw up this dialogue and have the choices either there. There needs to be an option that says, no, stop. Or give me some amount of time, a month, 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is. The free upgrade ends on July 29th. Well, here's an idea. On July 15th, you can ask me again. And after that, we're done. I don't want this. This constant nagging thing is unacceptable to me.
Nagging is one thing. To install it is another.
Yeah. Yep.
Nagging bad enough.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
There's a way we know that Microsoft has published how you can stop the notifications.
Yeah, but excuse me, that's...
And you know what, Leo? I'm not defending it again. I am afraid to do it because it involves editing your registry.
Everybody should get the GWX control panel, which I know is not an approved methodology. Right. But you know what? I got to tell you, that's not normal people.
That's people who
listen to this show.
Yep.
Oh, I'm ripping into them. This is horrific. This is unacceptable. I'm sorry. This is reason not to use Windows.
And this is the, for months we've been dealing with this kind of FUD around privacy stuff in Windows 10. All of it's baloney. Yeah. This is real.
This is real.
And this is the type of thing I talk about where I say, we can make stuff up about Microsoft, but why don't we focus on the stuff that's really bad And unfortunately, this is an example of something that's real. Like, they should not be doing this. It's very clear cut to me. I understand why they would want to be a little more aggressive than normal with this upgrade. I do get that. But they really need, you know, you can't talk about choice and then actually give users no choice.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I'm kind of I'm stunned.
Yeah, it's not good.
And you didn't realize that EULA only appears after it's fully installed. You said there were two boxes. What's the first box? Is it the EULA?
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
I have to look at what I wrote on this.
Unfortunately, none of us have. We've all upgraded to Windows 10.
None of us have had it.
So we can't.
No,
it hasn't happened to you.
I have Windows 7 and it has not happened to me. And I have automatic updates turned on and it has still not happened to me.
Did you do anything around recommended updates? Did you ever change that?
I left it as is to see what was going to happen.
Wow.
And so far nothing has
happened. Playing Russian roulette with your operating system.
I am.
Well, what would happen if it upgraded? Would you roll back?
Yeah. I would. Because
do you have an up-to-date backup of this operating system? You might want to.
I know, because that's a precarious thing, right? Because some people are saying, I tried to
rollback does not always work. I've had it fail.
Right.
And so you need a complete system image backup, and you need that, whatever they call it, Windows 7, the recovery disk, recovery drive.
I do have that.
Whatever it is. Yeah, make sure you have that stuff.
I do. On the prompt, I asked about this. Let's see. An initial notification pops up 3 to 4 days in advance of when you will be updated, alerting users about the scheduled update time. And then another reminder pops up 60 minutes in advance when the time comes.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right. That's what's happening.
But then it goes, it auto accepts at some point?
It says, so people have two chances to postpone or cancel the Windows 10 update. But, you know, we saw Andrew Zarian's screen last week, and that the way that dialog box looks is click here to change or cancel is tiny text, and then the OK button is huge.
Right. Yeah. That's the social engineering Paul was talking about, where they're just making it kind of confusing so that you'll say OK. But that's not, I mean, and that, as bad as it is not as bad as installing Windows 10 without permission.
Yeah, I you know, it's funny. I just helped two different people with their Windows 7-based computers. It was a friend of my wife's and of my mother. And I noticed in both cases that they had the get Windows 10 icon in the tray. But Windows 7 in both cases, just default, you know, neither one of them were particularly computer savvy people, just had default settings. And neither one of them had gotten Windows 10, obviously. So this really makes me wonder.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, and it,
we agree with you. We're not the
No. I know that. I'm not accusing you of anything.
Yeah.
Yep. Rachel, why do you always take the side of Microsoft?
I know.
Not at all.
I'm explaining. All I'm trying to do is explain what they said to me when I went and asked about this. You know what this kind of, it made me think about, remember when Microsoft came out with Windows XP Service Pack 2? And there was that whole debate about why did they call it Service Pack 2 instead of calling it a new operating system, which it really was. And the reason was they really wanted people to take it, right? And they said, if we called it, you know, like Windows YZ instead of XP SP2, people wouldn't have taken it. This reminds me of that, right? Like, Microsoft thinks they're doing us a favor.
This is a much bigger upgrade, though. I mean, XP was a big deal in a day, certainly, and could have justified that name change and all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Windows 10 is a huge upgrade, especially over Windows 7. That's three Windows. No, but I mean, it's, you know, it's a... It sort of is three windows, actually, but it's a big jump.
Yeah.
I got a song for us.
All right, mister. What do you think you're doing? You call this a room?
It's time for some Twisted Sister.
Yeah. I want you to straighten up this area now.
I used to love these, the beginnings of these videos. That's the guy from Animal House.
He turns into Dee Snider, which is very weird.
You're sickly and weak.
Oh, my God. Why do we need another Windows anthem?
Leo, I think I can speak on behalf of everyone present here today and say I miss the 1980s.
Do not start me up. So, okay, help me here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go on the radio on Saturday. Yep. And what? So I'm going to confirm that, in fact, you're not dreaming.
Actually, here's something you can tell people that I think is true and correct.
Good.
Turn off recommended updates.
Yes, now, that's harmless, right? There's no danger to that.
Well, you may want to occasionally look at Windows Update manually and see if there's anything in there you do want to get. But I believe if you change Windows Update so that it doesn't install recommended updates, that will prevent this from happening automatically, assuming that it does ever happen automatically. Because that's the change,
is
right?
Is there still a question of whether it's happening automatically?
Yeah, I think there is a question.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
We need somebody who can prove that they never agreed to this.
Yeah, a video of a computer sitting there doing nothing that suddenly just starts clicking and, you know, I don't know. A lot of the people who say this has happened to them, it's not clear that they didn't do something at some point that they're forgetting.
Yeah.
You know, or that they didn't, you know, even explicitly notice.
Really interesting that Microsoft says, no, there's not a bug.
They say no.
Really interesting.
And you know,
I mean, this is their opportunity to back off.
They're watching. They're watching really closely what's happening and what people are saying.
Chris Cappicella's on his treadmill right now.
With his dog on a leash.
Healthy bastard.
And I hope that he's listening because this is not good.
They're definitely listening and watching for sure. And not just the show, but just they're watching Twitter. They're watching Reddit. Right. Yeah.
But by the way, Twitter and Reddit. It's not where the people are getting hurt. Those are technical people.
Right.
You know, the problem with this is it's happening to normal people.
Well, that's why I want, because the radio show, presumably, I'm speaking to a million normal people. Yeah. But it can't be that normal.
By the way, it will be interesting then if you get calls in.
Oh, I did. I got tons of them.
From people who say this has happened.
Yes.
Okay.
As soon as I said, I don't think this is happening, you're clicking OK and not, I got many. More than we could take on the air calls.
Yeah. I think if another option besides shutting off recommended updates is to make sure the recommended updates time setting on your machine is something that you will see, right? Not 3 a.m.
Oh, yeah. Don't do it in the middle of the night. Yeah,
Sunday.
And then, by the way, I believe that is the default, right? 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's what mine is,
Yeah, I think that's the default.
And when the first thing you'll see, it will have downloaded and installed, right? But if you click no, it will revert.
But that's terrible.
That's worst.
Yeah.
Especially because when you sit down in front of your computer, you're expecting to get to work, you know, or whatever. And if you have to revert this thing to Windows 7 because it already installed Windows 10, you're looking at some amount of time on an older Windows 7 machine. It's going to take a while. And as we've noted, it might not work.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's not great.
Ugh. Well, there's all sorts of scenarios. I mean, you're using 3 gigabytes of bandwidth just downloading the thing, and we do know that happens.
Right. They are still continuing to do that. We're going to push some of the operating system onto your machine without saying anything. That's continuing, and they've said, yep. That is happening.
By the way, that's also a problem because Windows 7 has no understanding of a metered network. You know, at least on Windows 8 or 8.1 or newer, you know, it can understand that you can even mark it explicitly as a metered network, and that type of thing wouldn't happen. And so if you're paying a lot of money for bandwidth, that could be a
lot of money.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
It's not
so hopefully we'll see. I'm not confident that they're going to change this, by the way, because they want to get to a billion copies of Windows 10 on PCs.
Isn't this already having a negative effect? I've seen some reports that it's slowing the upgrades, not speeding them up.
I think what you probably saw was a report that the pace of upgrades had slowed. Yes. But measuring upgrades month to month is a fool's game. Right. I mean, whatever. I mean, at the end of a year or 6 months or something, X number of people have upgraded. I mean, I think that's the big.
Right.
That's the only thing that really matters.
20 million, as it turns out.
I mean, 20 million is our benchmark.
We'll be back to 20 million any minute now.
Yep.
Well, I don't know what more to say.
We want people on the show to know that we can't prove that it's happening, without user's consent. We can't prove that. But there are things you can do or advise people who you know to do to try to head this off if they don't want it.
Well, the GWX tool will prevent the pop-up saying, hey, you want Windows? Yeah. But it won't change this recommended update process, will it? You have to turn that off. Isn't that right? I don't know.
Is that why you have to go in the registry?
What he's saying is there's a third-party utility called GWX Control Panel that's designed just to flip the right switches.
Eliminate that registry hack. It doesn't.
You have to kind of hope that this thing keeps up to date with whatever changes Microsoft might make.
Because
I mean, every month is some, remember, like one of the other little goofy things that happened in the past 30 days is the advertisement for Windows 10 that shipped as part of a security update for Internet Explorer on Windows 7, which is, outrageous in its own right. But that's the way Microsoft can slip stuff into other updates. And so this control panel thing works today, I think. There could be a Windows update tomorrow, Windows 7 that
breaks it.
So you have to sort of remain vigilant on this stuff.
But I don't think it will affect the fact that, unless the developer modifies it. I mean, that would be a nice thing if the GWX control panel launched and said, incidentally, you have recommended updates turned on. Would you like to turn that off?
Sure.
But I don't think it impacts that. I mean, this is separate from the invitation problem.
Yep.
This is the fact that, and this happened last month, Windows 10's upgrade was put into recommended on the update process. So that's something you want to go and turn off.
People are particular enough about the computers, they just don't want the stupid little flag thing down in the tray.
Right. And that's what you do.
It's across the board. I mean, it's a minor thing, I know, but, just affecting people that way is so lousy. It's such a terrible thing to do. I don't like anything that reinforces that notion that, oh, by the way, here's just a little reminder. I mean, I know you think you own the thing, but you don't, not really.
Right.
I just think that kind of thing is terrible.
Ay-yi-yi, no kidding.
All right, let's move on to something else that's just as good of news as this.
Something happy. Yeah, this is the one where they wanted to
put you're not going to be getting lost with your Windows phone anymore, Leo.
Let's take a break before we do that, because I want to make sure that we take away Paul's shoelaces and belt.
No, it's been 24 hours. I'm at peace with this one.
Oh, you're at peace. Okay.
Yeah.
What are the stages of grief?
Yeah.
Denial.
Stage one is denial. Stage two is just use an iPhone.
Anger, despair, just use an iPhone.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. We are going to take a break here before we get to that. This is today's show brought to you by ZipRecruiter, a great place, ZipRecruiter.com, to go whether you're looking for a job or looking for that perfect employee. It's a challenge to do the hiring these days. We know, on the one hand, the internet really makes it easier to find the right employee. We know the right employees out there. There is, I think, for any job, a perfect person looking for work right now. Let's stipulate that. How do you reach that person? Well, with hundreds of job boards out there, lots of ways that you could miss that person unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, you post once to the ZipRecruiter website, and it immediately goes to 100-plus job boards. All the big job boards, plus social networks like Twitter and Facebook and Craigslist. And I might add, you also get matched because a lot of people go to ZipRecruiter. It's another job board to submit their resume. There are 6 million current resumes in their database, and you'll immediately get matched to those. So you post today, right now. In fact, I'm going to give you a four-day deal in a second. You post right now, almost instantly. Within a day, you'll get hundreds of resumes. Now, you might say, I don't want all those resumes. I don't want all the calls, the inbox. I don't need that. Well, no. This is beautiful. It goes into the ZipRecruiter interface where you can quickly screen out the ones that don't match your needs, filter and rank the rest, and then hire the right person fast, really in just a matter of days. It's a really better way to do this. No wonder 400,000 businesses use ZipRecruiter. We've used it. We love it. 800,000, that number just went up. That's going up faster than the tote board at a Jerry Lewis telethon. 800,000-plus companies have used ZipRecruiter. I want you to try it. We got an email from Scott, who is one of those companies, one of those people. He says, the recruiting process used to be so painful. Before I'd post to several places, I'd get a million resumes, but only a few responses from qualified candidates. It was torture. But with ZipRecruiter, we post once and get qualified candidates in one easy-to-review place. We've hired some of our best employees using ZipRecruiter. Okay, you interested? Here's the deal. 4 days free when you go to ZipRecruiter.com/windows. And by the way, that'll be a little clue to them that you're listening to Windows Weekly, and that will make Paul and Mary Jo and me happy. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. I always want to make a point that by supporting our sponsors, you're supporting us, because it's the only way we get paid. So if you are, obviously, if you're not looking for somebody to hire right now, you don't need to go there. But if you are, ZipRecruiter.com/windows, why not? It's free for the next 4 days. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, we're talking Windows on Windows Weekly. And I'm sure this isn't a big deal at all. No. What's big that? Deal, right?
The next story.
So Here Maps, which used to be a Nokia product, and then Nokia sold that off as part of the general sell-off of all of their mobile assets to a consortium of German automakers,
well,
right?
Actually, it was a little they did, but the weird thing about this sale is that when they sold all of their other mobile assets to Microsoft,
right?
They declined to sell this. At the time, they were going to keep it as a standalone in-house business. Microsoft wanted it. I, at the time, argued, and I think others did too, that they should never have agreed to buy the mobile stuff without Here. I thought that it was such a key part of it. And then after about a year,
do you remember there were some reports when this originally happened that Ballmer wanted Here and the phone hardware division, but the Microsoft board told him no. There were some reports claiming he actually wanted both. I also saw some reports saying Nokia didn't want to sell Here, so I don't know which was true.
Okay, I mean, either way, they didn't get it. I think that would have completed the picture, because remember when Nokia announced they were coming on board with Windows Phone, probably in 2011-ish, it was a big deal on a number of fronts. But it wasn't just the phone and their designs and the fact that they were partnering with Microsoft and were supposedly going to work on the OS with them and all that stuff. They were going to make did make a bunch of awesome apps, including these location apps and the NavTech stuff. And a bunch of other apps, around the camera and things like that. And Nokia was such an injection of awesomeness into the Windows Phone ecosystem at the time. And Here was a really big part of that. It was kind of a foundational piece, I think, of what made this platform really special. And, like Leo said, that, they ended up with a car maker consortium sometime in the past 3-4
it's
months.
It's not like they got a better deal either, by the way. I don't think Nokia holding on to it for more money made in the long run. It wasn't an expensive acquisition.
By the way, I'll throw something by. Here's something to consider. SQL Server Linux, right? What was the story there? It's all about data. That's the core asset of Microsoft. Yeah. Well, guess what Here has?
Yeah.
Data.
It's hugely valuable.
It made no sense to me.
It had to be more valuable to Microsoft or a Google than it was to German automakers who just want to put it in their car.
Right. Well, part of the original transaction when Microsoft got the Nokia handset business and the patents, they also signed a deal, a 4-year deal, to license the Here data. And so that 4-year license expires next year, 2017.
So that's when it'll disappear.
Or maybe Microsoft will renew it because they're using that Here data to help them build Windows Maps.
So they could write their own app, in other words.
They did.
You know what? Well, they did. I mean, they have. And for whatever it's worth.
But that's not the Here app on Windows Phone, or is it?
No, it's called Windows Maps, right?
So they say, Here says that app is going to stop working.
No.
Right?
No.
Oh, okay.
So, no, Windows apps Here continues app. To.
No, no, I'm saying the Here apps will stop working on Windows Phone.
That's right. And there are three primary soon, depending on the platform, right? So, actually, I believe it continues to work for the foreseeable future on Windows Phone 8.1, but they're not going to update it. They're not going to update the maps, which is really the crucial bit of it.
On Windows 10 mobile,
it ends very soon, right? Does it end at the end of the month, I think, for Windows 10 mobile?
Right. They said they're removing the Here branded apps, so Maps, Transit, and Drive Plus, from the Windows Store March 29th, so in a couple weeks. And then they'll actually, the actual date where they're ceasing to let them be operative at all is June 30th. They don't work after that. So yeah, soon.
So,
okay, you know, but the weirdest part of this whole thing to me was the reason that Heer gave, which we still don't really understand, right?
Right, I never will.
It was two parts. So one part was to continue to offer these apps for Windows 10. We needed to redevelop the apps from the ground up. Why did they? Because they already have a Windows 10 app. I mean, maybe they mean go turn it into a universal Windows platform app, but I think they already are, right?
So they don't actually have a Windows 10 native app, right? So whether you're talking about phone or the PC, they have just a Windows app. You know, it's a Windows whatever Windows app. You know, they have Windows.
Well, there you go. That's the explanation right there.
When Windows 10 Mobile was first kind of happening over the past 6 months or so, the Heer apps disappeared briefly, remember, from the store, and then they came back. And what they had done was updated the app to make the Windows Phone 8 app work somehow in Windows 10 Mobile. But what they're saying is that as of that date, that little workaround won't work anymore.
Yeah.
So
and we don't know what the workaround Windows, is, right?
No, we don't. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Right. So they're basically saying it wasn't worth their while or they weren't interested in redoing them to be universal Windows platform apps. But I, you know, many developers we hear from and talk to say it's not all that hard to take a Windows Phone 8.1 or 8 app and make it a universal Windows platform app.
I think part of it was the way they implemented downloadable maps. There's an API involved there that's not going to be supported after the end of June, I think it was. That might be tied to it, and maybe that was just too monumental of a job. I mean, this isn't porting an app. There's the big part of the app is the back-end data and how it deals with that, and a big part of that is the maps, right? You know, the downloadable maps, and maybe that was just too big of a deal. But I sort of imagine this, because I would, you know this for sure, but I remember some years ago when they first offered up a beta version of this app, of Heer Maps, I think it was just Heer Maps or whatever, on iOS, you know, I sort of thought at the time, they're going to see more users on these other platforms very quickly, even though the Heer apps on iOS and Android will be relatively small compared to, you know, Google Maps or even Apple Maps, right? And that I think this played a part in it. Now that they're not tied to Microsoft / Nokia / Windows Phone, they kind of look at the possibilities out there. And even though they're not a big deal probably on these other platforms, it's probably a bigger user base still. And I'm sure that
also played a big... possible that the it's a. I mean, let's think of who owns this. The consortium of German automakers bought it for their cars. It's possible. I mean, do they want the map business on mobile? They may not even care.
Right. That's the real question. Do they even care?
Yeah.
They may even see it as a competitive problem.
Yep.
They may say, "Well, here's the deal: if you buy a BMW." We'll give it to you for your phone or something.
You thought that new iPhone was expensive.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't their business.
Well, okay. So obviously on other platforms, this wouldn't be a big deal. There are excellent solutions available, et cetera.
Right.
Windows Phone doesn't really have that. I mean, I've gotten a string of suggestions from people, these third-party apps, especially they seem to be mostly mom-and-pop type things where they're hitting back-end Google services in some cases, or they use the Microsoft data on the back, you know, the Bing Maps APIs in the back-end, and they present their own little UI or whatever, and it's okay. You know, the Windows Map app and Windows Phone, or I'm sorry, Windows 10 Mobile, it's okay. You know, it's okay. But, you know, this is just we're running out of space for nails in the coffin here, right? I mean, we're kind of running out of ways we can say things are falling apart. I mean, this was a linchpin or a foundational piece, I think, of the Windows Phone platform. And it's, you know, yeah, I guess you could argue you should have seen this one coming because they sold it and whoever bought it and okay, fine. But it's still, you know, it's always a little hard to deal with it when it happens, you know.
Yeah, so no kidding. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have not tried the new Windows Maps. Have you? You've done much with them?
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's in beta still, right?
Sure. Is it? I don't know.
I think it is. I think they're still working on it and adding capabilities.
People,
to it.
You know, people have said to me that this app works great for them. They don't know what the, you know, what's the problem. It's already fine. And, you know, the Hear apps weren't that great. Yada, yada, yada. You know, okay. But I don't know. They did something really special with the Hear apps. There's a lot of function. Even though they're using the same backend data, they're not using it the same way. They're not using it with the same presentation. Yeah. And the Windows Maps app is a very small subset of what was available across here, Maps, Drive Plus, and especially Transit, which was a particularly special application. It's hard. And it's not, again, it's not like we're on iOS or Android where you can say, well, it's okay. We have Google Maps over here and it's awesome. Or we have Apple Maps, which is actually not terrible anymore. Or we have whatever, Waze, that has actually been updated sometime in the past 18 months.
That was just updated last week.
Yeah.
Google is updating it.
Not on Windows Phone.
I'm sorry.
So
I forgot you were talking about Windows Phone.
Yeah. It's hard. So
don't expect Google to really give Windows Phone any love.
No.
No. In fact, this event might remind them. Wait, we still have Waze on Windows 10. Get rid of that.
Yeah, let's kill it now.
Yeah, why is that out there?
That was a mistake. What? Whose idea was that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pre-Google. Yeah. It's too bad. That's all.
Gosh.
Well, honestly, I think at this point we're just, you know, we're flogging a dead horse in a way. Like,
I mean, you knew
there's
this.
No more we can say. I mean, it's just.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I mean, you knew this.
It's tough.
It's hard. It's always hard when somebody you love dies. you've written a book on dies.
Yes.
It's always hard.
Right. It's more like they're in this terrible coma and they refuse to die.
Refuse
now it's
to
getting
die.
Irritated. Yeah. Will you just go, please?
Everybody else is saying, just unplug.
It would be
unplug.
Better for everyone if we just pulled the plug. Uh-huh. That's all I'm saying.
But come on, Spotify actually is staying on Windows Phone.
Yay, Spotify.
Did you guys see that at the beginning of the week? There are all these stories saying, oh, and Spotify's dropping Windows Phone support.
Someone from Spotify said that they were dropping.
They did. A customer service rep from Spotify said it. Yeah.
So maybe it's just not now. Someday. So
I think they seem to be going forward with it.
No, they came out afterwards and said that person was mistaken. Yeah. We're continuing to update this. They released an update this week that made it run better on Windows 10.
Good.
Yeah.
And today they released a new Twitter app, which, by the way, did you hear my timing theory slash rumor? I think there's something to this.
What's the story?
I had to go back and look because last year, at some point, Twitter released a universal Windows platform app of its service on Windows 10 for PCs and tablets. So I looked it up, and they released it on the day Windows 10 came out, July 29th, 2015. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And so today, they released the universal Windows platform app for Windows 10 Mobile. And we've been waiting for this thing to come out, and there were now rumors suggesting that tomorrow's the day. And maybe this is like the... what do you call it? The parakeet in the mine shaft.
Canary. Yeah.
Canary.
Right. Yeah. There are a lot of rumors right now. Well, there have been rumors for months about when Windows Phone 8 users would get Windows 10 Mobile start to be pushed to their phones.
Always next month.
Now the new rumor is tomorrow. So maybe. We don't know. And I'm guessing once it starts happening, it'll likely be staggered, right? Like me getting it on my icon. Bet it won't be the first day, Verizon.
It might not be any day, Mary Jo.
Come on, no.
Well, by the way, I mean, as much as we can complain about this kind of thing, you're Verizon. I mean, would you support this upgrade? Would you allow this to go out?
Why wouldn't?
Yeah. Why on earth would you want? When did the icon come out? 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, 2 years.
Time to upgrade, Mary Jo. It's time to get a new phone.
Oh. Of course.
We have a beautiful rose gold iPhone right over here. Yeah, we'd like to show you.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Why?
That's
why,
the problem.
I'm
pretty sure. I've seen lists of likely phones to get it, and Icon's always on there. But
okay.
Maybe we'll get it in 4 years. I don't know.
I hope you're right. I really do.
Yeah. So maybe it'll be tomorrow. And if it is, it won't be every single Lumia or every single Windows phone that gets it. We still don't have a complete list of which ones do.
And I think it will be carrier-based, won't it? Won't there still be a carrier component? I think that's the issue.
I believe so, yep.
So, and I think that's what's going to scuttle it, certain phones on certain networks. Yeah, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this to happen, and it's going to happen, and it's not going to impact anybody.
Right.
You know, I think is how it's going to go.
Well, we'll always have Windows. In fact, we'll always have Windows 10. You mentioned in a tweet that Groove had stopped working in your Sonos. I just wanted to follow up on that. Is that...
I figured it out. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not true. I got it fixed. I didn't. Sonos came to me and said... So what had happened was Microsoft, I guess, changed something on the back end and it screwed up Sonos.
Oh.
And they tried to figure out a way together to...
It's kind of funny that you were the only one that noticed. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh.
No, there were two other guys in there. Anyway. The way I fixed it at Sonos is request was to delete the service from Sonos and then just re-sign in. And that worked. It worked
good.
Fine.
Good. I've actually had to do that at other times with other services like Amazon.
I couldn't listen to the Beatles. So, yep, fixed.
Good. Good news.
Yeah.
All right. You don't have much news today. It's kind of a light day.
Oh, well, we have a lot of Xbox news.
We try to keep it to two disasters per show.
That's the new standard.
You know, it's our 20 million per month.
Let's talk about something we've been waiting for. Edge support for extensions. I want to get my last pass on Edge.
Yep. So we're all hearing now. Well, I shouldn't say all. Many of us are hearing. Right. The next build of Windows 10 Redstone for Fast Ring is going to have the first preview of Edge. So that could be any day now, we think.
I think it literally is any.
Me too. I think it's any day now. I saw some people speculating we're going to have to wait till build. I don't think so. I think it's going to be sooner. Yeah. And in December, there was a placeholder page for Edge that Brad and I and a few other people wrote about. But this is a new placeholder page for Edge that was discovered this week by MS Power User. And this one has two different Edge extensions listed that were not on the first preview page. So it looks from this page like the first three test extensions that Microsoft will make available are, one is for mouse gestures, which is interesting. One is a suite of modules for enhancing Reddit. That was in the first time around on the preview page. And a Microsoft Translator extension. So we aren't seeing that LastPass or AdBlock are going to be among the first extensions available in preview, but we aren't totally sure. This could just be a subset
It doesn't mean they're not in there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And the preview page said it gave a set of instructions for how users who want to test them out can download them and try them out. They won't be in the store right off, although that's the ultimate goal, is Microsoft will have put the extensions in the Windows Store and users will get them there. Sorry for the background noise.
Wow.
Mary Jo's going to get yanked out of her chair by a bunch of SWAT guys.
Awfully and that's gonna be close. Very nearby.
So we think these are going to be out soon because we're still hearing that Edge extensions will be part of Redstone 1 in June. So they need to get them out to test pretty soon if that is in fact the case. Yep. Yeah, so they're coming. I think they're close.
I was hoping today, but what we heard from Gabe all today, it's not happening today.
And Gabe says no builds today.
Will there be wide range of... extensions is it just like everything will work, the Internet Explorer extensions will work, or
do they it's Edge? Chrome extensions that should work.
Oh, nice. That's a good, strong set.
Yeah, I wonder if that's true.
I don't know if it's going to be a straight plug-and-play thing, but it's based on the Chrome extension model. So
not hard. I mean, those are JavaScript. I mean, it's not...
Yeah, it should be straightforward getting them over.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't, you know, they really hasn't been much official word on exactly how this is going to work.
I just want LastPass, because I can't really use Edge until I've got LastPass installed.
Yeah, yeah. I really want to use Edge, too. It's funny, because I keep trying to, and I love the way it renders text. I just love it, and especially if you are using a high DPI display, I find part of it to be a problem, and on Edge, it's great. And blocking ads would be nice. You know, LastPass integration obviously would be great.
And build, here it comes. Do we know anything yet about whether we're going to be able to broadcast from there? Have we?
I've been talking back and forth with, what am I blanking on her name? Colleen.
our producer
live with her. Yeah. Yep. And so she said, it looks like we're doing the show from 1 to 3 on April 1st.
Yeah.
From build.
Is that Friday?
Yep, that's Friday. Okay. And the detail that still has to be worked out is whether we can bring some equipment in there. And if we can, then Leo can come and be on the show with us.
So we'll be doing it for sure.
We're doing it for sure.
Yeah.
Right. April 1st, yeah. 1 to 3.
Obviously, it'd be ideal if you could come down.
It's just a question of whether I'm there. Yeah. And I'm glad to be there. In fact, I have to, kind of.
It's funny.
I
like coming up to Petaluma, but it's a pain in a way. Because you have to get back and forth.
You're going to be there no matter what.
Yeah,
even if there's one camera, you're going to be there.
Yeah, right. And I think that'll be cool for people who want to attend it, right? Because in the past, we've had a pretty good showing, but it's hard for people. A lot of times you come to San Francisco, you don't rent a car. Getting up to Petaluma, getting back is kind of a...
This is fun. I'm glad to do that. It was just a question of whether we can get enough equipment in there to have a full show or just what we've done in the past, like at the Microsoft store in New York, where it's you guys on camera and me up here.
Yeah. So we also don't know yet how we're going to get the audience in because we aren't sure. Like the people who are at Build obviously will be able to come and we'll let you know how to get
screw
to
the
where
rest
we're
of them.
So we're working. Yes. We're still working on those details with Microsoft about, you know, can we get passes for people to come into the Moscone just for the event? And
you know, we don't want the commoners running around the Moscone.
So I'm sorry, but what was the guy? What is the guy at the Yale Club? What did he tell you? That guy.
Polo is the minimum.
I'm sorry, sir. You need to have a collar on your shirt. Yeah. We need that guy at the door.
We do. We need that guy. Yeah,
so
and we
we'll let you know. I mean, it's not till April 1st, so we got a couple of weeks. So
yeah, we got a couple of weeks. We haven't nailed down the meetup yet. Working on that. Sorry, we know it's getting tight.
No. I mean, you know, you could tell people the day before. It's not like I mean, if you're in town, you're in town. If you're not, you're not going to buy a ticket to get there.
True.
Now, speaking of which, since we're on the topic, we're having a meetup of some kind, are we not?
Well, that was what we were saying, is we don't know where.
Well, I mean, I think it seems like we should be able to do this regardless, right? Even if you can't get it to build, we should be able to do something.
You have, I mean, there's not a bar in build.
We can make
one. There is, actually. I don't know. Mr. Carl Franklin might arrange for one.
He might. Yeah, no matter what, we'll do something, even if it comes down to, like, we go to a bar and tweet and say, anybody who's around, come with us.
You might want to hang around the Mickler bar. I can assure you I will be there during that week more than once.
Which bar?
Yes.
What?
Mickler.
Where
is that?
On Mason.
It's a Danish, kind of a Danish bar / eatery.
That's a great bar.
Is it? I don't even know
it.
That's
fantastic.
It's Mickler
awesome.
Bar? Oh, I never even heard of it.
Yeah.
The food's great, too.
The food's great. The bar is great. It's from Mickler, however you pronounce it. It's on 34 Mason Street. It's right near Moscone. It's a craft beer bar extraordinaire. Paul and I spent some quality time in there last time.
M-I-K-K-E-L-L-E-R. So it's kind of the Danish.
Yeah.
Danish for let's drink.
It's my kind of place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
It's like a little slice.
I don't think we could have our meetup in there because it's a little tight. But
42 taps. 42. How many taps does Rattle and Hum have?
40.
More taps than Rattle and Hum.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Okay, how did I not know about this?
It's fairly new and it's fairly hidden, so you may not have seen it, but it's a very good place.
Ooh, look at the food!
Yeah,
the food's brat good. Type stuff is great. The sausages.
They've got like a whole really brat good. Bar.
Yep.
Oh, salt cod cakes. That's very Danish.
Yep. Mm,
Reuben Mickler burger, char siu tofu banh mi. Wow.
Yep.
And then the Mickler Sausage Company.
I recommend the platter.
Oh. I'm going off my diet, baby.
Yep.
Prince Edward Island mussels, chimichurri flank steak, cauliflower tempura.
Yep.
The only way to eat cauliflower is deep fat fried.
Exactly, and then dip it in cheese. chocolate, whatever.
This looks good.
Anything right. to wash the flavor of the actual food out
yeah.
of it.
Yeah. Well, you can't taste the cauliflower, so there's that. no, actually, I love cauliflower, but that's just me. I understand it's something people don't
mean. McKellar. I think you're correct. I think that's how you say it.
McKellar.
McKellar. Yeah, we're going to take a break, and then we'll talk about what's to be happening in 2 weeks at Build, all of the things we're going to learn. But we will
all
at least
craft beer we're going to drink.
All the beer we're going to drink, all the taps we're going to top. What do you call it when you use a tap?
Tap.
You tap it.
I can tap a tap.
I'll tap the
It's
tap.
Just like a sway, Leo. It's the same thing.
What is a sway? What do you sway?
It's a sway.
Do you sway a sway?
It's a sway. What do you make sway? With a sway? You make a sway.
You make a sway with a sway. Hey, I got to show you. You got to make this away. The Harry's kit now available as a freebie for anybody who wants to try Harry's. You've been hearing us talk about the great high-quality, high-performance blades that they make in their own factory in Germany, crafted by shaving experts. They really feel good. It's my shave. And by the way, these new Steve Gibson was singing their praises. These new handles are awesome. Awesome. They're kind of they're like soft rubberized with a grip. I mean, this if you shave in the shower or any slippery place, you're going to love these Harry's handles. Getting started with Harry's couldn't be easier now. Over a million guys have made the switch. You go to the website, Harry's, HARRYS.com. It take you less than 30 seconds to place an order. And what's great is you get the handle, and then you get the blades delivered, and they're great blades. Wow, they've really upgraded the kit. Look at this. Now we have a blade carrier here and the travel cover. This is really nice. So this is the Truman, named after Harry Truman. There's also a Churchill, which is what I use at home, although I might get this new Truman. That's really nice. Now, this is the normal kit that, $15, but we've got a new deal now. If you want to try it, just sign up for a subscription. Get a shave plan. And what they'll do is they'll ask you, well, how often do you shave? Okay, then you need this many blades a month or every other month. And when you do that, you can get the handle and a five-blade cartridge and a sample of the foaming shave gel and the travel cover, too, for free. You just cover the $3 shipping charge. So this is a really great way, if you've been putting it off, to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/windows. Again, it's not this kit. This is the $15 Truman kit, which is a great way to start, too. But a sampler kit is free with a $3 shipping charge at harrys.com/windows. Go there right now to start your free trial. It is, you're going to save money. I mean, that's the first thing to say. If you are buying blades, from the big companies like Gillette, you're paying twice as much for a lesser blade. And the convenience of having these delivered when you need them, you don't have to put off changing the blade, which is frankly a recipe for disaster. You get fresh blades every week. You get a great shave. You get Harry's. Harry's.com/windows. Try it free right now. You just pay a $3 shipping charge. Harry's.com/windows. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking about Microsoft Build.
Leo, yes. I added a photo.
I see it.
This is a reader sent me this. OMG. Yeah. So you can see how this hijack thing can really get it in the way. This is a big screen in a hotel lobby that's telling you information about whatever. I don't know if these are destinations. It's
Abfahrt.
In German.
Hier in Nachten Abfahrten.
That's, yeah. Ausfahrt is like exit in German, I think.
So Abfahrt is entrance.
It must, yeah.
It's like where you can go to these things, I guess. I don't know.
So you can see how this thing just pops up and it gets right in the way of everything.
Yeah, and it's going to sit there until somebody notices and clicks
cancel. It's like the new blue screen. It's hilarious.
Now, I'm trying to.
And there is no cancel.
There
Look
is no
that.
Cancel.
See, but what you'd have to know to do there is click the red X in the upper right corner, and that's not obvious.
And then it will come back.
Yep. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I feel my blood pressure going up right now.
I know.
I just...
The technology is heartbreak. That's all it is. It's just being, it's like big promise and huge disappointment.
And don't you think that you know? The employee who goes in there and says, oh, crap, is going to just click OK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's going to upgrade to Windows 10.
Yeah.
And at that point, who knows if that custom software is going to continue working?
Yep.
It's
must be, what are these, trains or planes or something? What am I looking at?
I think it might just be the hotel, you know, like conference rooms. I don't know.
Yeah, he says, the guy said he's in a hotel lobby in Zurich, right?
Yeah.
Who sent that?
Shocking.
Shocking.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's get to the good news.
Maybe at Build, they'll announce the newest wave of ways that they'll push Windows 10 upgrades on people. That'll be fun.
Michael Coleman, thank you for that image. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Visual Studio 2016 Preview 1. Woohoo!
So first we should say, remember last Build, there was a ton of news.
Yeah.
We learned about the bridges. We learned about data lakes at length.
Yeah.
What else did we get?
I blocked that one out, but I assume you're right.
Yeah. There was a lot of news last Build, and so far we haven't heard a whole lot about what's coming at this Build. We have some guesses about what we'll likely hear.
Yeah. I mean, there was a Windows 10 event in January last year, so we had a little bit of a hint. But there's been talk about Xbox stuff. They did do a Bridges update recently. Yeah. Obviously, they bought Xamarin.
I bet we'll hear more about the Centennial Bridge, which is the one for bringing your Win32 apps to the store, because they didn't say a whole lot. They just said that was in private preview. So I bet we'll have public preview, just a guess. Of course, HoloLens. I bet there'll be tons and tons of HoloLens developer sessions at Build. Yep.
Did we do? We did. In fact, Build last year was the second HoloLens demo.
Right.
Yeah. It was outside. It was like down the street from the Moscone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I imagine there'll be a lot of that. Yeah.
A lot of that. Visual Studio. Yep. Visual Studio 2016, which is codenamed, just to be confusing, Visual Studio 15. The codename of Visual Studio 2016 is VS15.
Nailed it.
Yep. So I think right now that's in private testing, so I bet we'll see a first public preview of that. And you know, I think we'll see some of the leaks on that already are simpler and faster installer. A lot of sharing of code between VS Code and Visual Studio. Some more things around Xamarin and integration. So I think all of those things will likely be in the next Visual Studio.
I'd be surprised if Microsoft didn't support the Swift programming language from Apple, which is now
that's a good point.
Open sourced, right? And mm-hmm. it can be used, I'm sure, with the whatever the bridge is. What's the name of that bridge? Islandwood?
Islandwood, yep.
I would imagine that has to be happening.
I would think. Also, last year there was a lot of stuff around ASP.NET, and they renamed ASP.NET 5 to ASP.NET Core earlier this year. So
don't forget the 1.0 part.
Yeah, right. 1.0. So maybe we'll hear about a new release candidate of that. I doubt we're going to hear RTM. It's too early for that, I think. And of course, Xamarin. I think Xamarin's going to be the star of the show, right?
I do too.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Miguel on stage.
Exactly. Right? Carried it on the shoulders of...
That would be great.
Mono.
He's a little man. It wouldn't be hard to carry the guy around.
He's a little man. I'm sure he'll be glad to hear that.
I could hold him in the crook of my elbow and just bring him around.
It's okay. He's a little man.
Yeah, but the thing I'd like to hear him talk about, or somebody talk about, is, you know, what does it mean to actually make a universal app now? Because we have universal Windows platform apps right now, which means you write for all the different Windows devices. But now with Xamarin in the fold, you could write for iOS and Android too. So maybe they go back and change the name, right?
The central universal thing there is sort of apps. What are they going to do with Xamarin, right? Like just...
Right. What are they going to do with
Xamarin? Xamarin's expensive today.
Is it?
I fully expect them to come out and say, not, hey, we're going to lower the price. Like it's just, you're just going to get it
free.
Now.
This should is be Visual free. Studio. You want everybody. Yeah, it should be part of Visual Studio. Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet it won't be totally free.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
if you're a development house, you have a budget for tools. I mean,
yeah, great.
This is a company that does charge for Visual Studio for some reason.
It does.
But I have long said that that's a huge mistake. I don't understand why they do that.
Yeah, I agree.
And I bet it'll be cheaper to use Xamarin. And there may be some more free stuff thrown in. But I can't see Microsoft giving Xamarin away for free. I can't see
it. What about Charles Petzold? Can I give him away for free?
They could give
everyone
away a copy
gets a free
of
visit.
Free Petzold.
Charles Petzold on site for one day.
That's funny.
You're going to want to sign up fast for that one.
Great.
That would be good.
Yeah, so beyond that, though, I don't really know. I mean, I guess I would expect to hear some more enterprise stuff, maybe some more SQL Azure or SQL Server 2016.
You don't expect surprises, do you? Or do you?
You know, they've been pretty good at keeping some surprises lately. I don't think we'll see new hardware there. I don't think
the bridges were a surprise last year.
They were.
Yeah.
I had caught wind of the Android part of it, but I'd heard nothing about any of that other stuff. That was absolutely a surprise.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean.
Yeah. But beyond that, I don't know. I really don't have any idea at all. So far, we're working on it. We're trying to find out.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you have any leaks.
Right. Send them over.
Tweet us.
What I'd like to do is write about it on the plane ride to San Francisco so that I can be met by the Microsoft Mafia when I land.
Oh, you'll be met.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry about that.
Yep.
You will be met, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And so, yeah, after that, I haven't even heard about any big parties, gatherings. Xamarin usually has a really big party right before build starts, but I don't know if they're having it this year. I haven't heard.
By the way, to the tune of, is there an attendee party or a press party?
Yes.
The official?
Attendee party is Thursday night, we know.
Okay, and do you know where is that? Do you know?
We don't know. No.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're working on it.
Good.
Are we going to get Azure credits? You know, we know there's no hardware giveaway. There's some questions around what they could possibly give people that would make a lot of sense. Yeah. Chromebooks, you know, whatever.
Oh, Paul.
Paul's Chromebook pick of the week.
Linux Mint for all attendees.
Oh, Paul.
Jeez.
I'm looking at Linux right now. I'm loving it. It's not even I know there's an update and it's not even telling me about it. It's saying I'm not.
Does it say upgrade to Windows 10? Just click OK.
Yeah, no, it won't
and
say
then
anything.
It's one of those giant Visual Basic OK buttons that's like 4 inches by
I'm
four
not,
inches.
I'm not on trusty tar. So I'm on. No, you think I'm joking. That's
no,
the,
I know. I love
that's
the
next name of, Ubuntu is trusty tar. I'm still on the LTS.
Interrupted IBIX.
I know, they always have those
stupid names. Oh, you know? It's like those M is for murder books. You know,
pretty soon you run out of alliterative code names. And I might point out, they're almost to Z. I don't know what they're going to do. That's Z. They're almost to the alphabet.
Go back to A.
Numbers.
Augmented Osprey. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Did you cover ASP.NET Core 1.0 RC2?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe an RC2. That was just kind of a guess on my part. I know they're not ready to RTM that yet. And you know what? I bet we're going to hear more open source stuff in general, right? Because lately Microsoft open sourcing everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Microsoft Linux is here.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what else I think we'll hear? We'll probably hear a whole bunch of apps, right? I bet we'll hear, you know, here's the Facebook Messenger app for Windows 10 Universal, blah, blah, blah. So I bet we'll hear a whole bunch of those as part of it to show
the Microsoft Garage guys at Build.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
We could have a line like that scene in Airplane where everyone's waiting to punch that woman. They like the people in like a pipe.
But that is a good point, by the way. We will, regardless, have an extra microphone down there and give you the ability to bring in people. And I hope you will for our Build show.
Sure.
That's Friday right after Build, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern.
We're going to have a hard time fitting everyone in, actually. I mean, assuming, I don't know who's left on Friday, but we should be.
Well, doesn't it, like, it ends at noon on Friday, right? It's not like The Dandy.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of these people are coming out of this country, right? So some of them may come in early and spend the previous weekend. Some of them will come late or stay late and spend the next weekend just visiting.
Friday ends. Sessions end at 3, but then there's a hackathon that goes on till 9 p.m. Saturday.
Fun. I would love to see
And by the way, Raphael will be there.
What will they be Brad's going to be there. Linux?
Raspberry Pi? Linux? No.
There is. Raspberry Pi has Windows 10 IoT edition.
Yeah. I'm just guessing on the hackathon. I don't know what their theme is or whatever. But
I think it should be Windows Universal Platform, right? It should be.
Yeah. Should be.
It's going to be a bunch of dateless wonders and a huge rum playing with Legos is what I'm thinking. It's just going to be.
I want a Minecraft hackathon.
Yep.
Let's have a Minecraft
Real life hackathon. Minecraft will probably be part of it.
That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. Actually, it might not be a surprise. Microsoft's done so much to make Minecraft a programming platform. There's somebody just released a data, an AI interface for Minecraft. Presumably supported by Microsoft, that lets you test AIs. Apparently, one of the challenges when you're testing AIs is coming up with a test environment. And Minecraft, you test your AI in Minecraft.
Yeah.
Awesome. I want to do that. Build me a castle.
Build me a killer robot. And
you could
we'll
do
see
that.
How that works in the real world.
Yeah. The name of that is Project AIX. Nothing to do with the old IBM Unix named AIX. It's
is
not
it a
that.
Microsoft thing?
Yeah, it's
it
Microsoft. Microsoft created it. It's in a private preview for some early participants.
So it's such a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an AI researcher, so I don't know what they need, but I'm taking it as written that they need some sort of test bed. And what a great idea. I wish it makes me, God, I wish I were 20 years old and choosing a major in college right now because this.
Oh, Leo.
Oh,
all
hey, phone
do.
Call. Somebody's got an iPhone in there. I wonder who. No one's owning up. It wasn't me.
I don't know what you're talking about, Leo. That's,
I'm dude, a Nexus.
I don't even know what that would
How's
sound
that
like.
Nexus going for you?
It's still going good. And you know what? Yesterday I got an update to the operating system on it.
They do that every month now.
Every month,
That's a security update, kind of like Microsoft style.
It's nice, huh? That's why you get it. That's what I posted on Twitter. It's like, this is why you buy a Nexus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although, man, am I loving, and Mary Jo, you might want to think about it, especially in the Galaxy S7.
Mm-hmm.
So do
everybody
you have any
likes
concerns
it.
About the software updates? Because that would be the one thing.
Well, that's why you get, as you say, that's why you get Nexus. And basically, if you buy a Samsung phone, you figure I'm going to be on Marshmallow or whatever the current
this
version
is. Like, in other words, this is the OS.
This is it.
You'll get something. I mean, there'll be a little minor.
They're upgrading the S6 now to Marshmallow and the Note 5. They're sending them out. But it's not just Samsung. It's the carriers,
Leo,
too.
Leo, you have to say it like they say to Google, Marshmallow.
Marshmallow. Marshmallow. Yeah, well,
Marshmallow.
Spelled that way.
Marshmallow.
So don't count on an update. You're right. And for that reason, a Nexus is a choice. By the way, Mary Jo, I think you would really like the 6P better than the 5X, but.
Because it's bigger?
It's bigger and it's got better, much better battery life.
Yeah, it's got a huge battery.
Yeah, let me get it.
And
by
it's
the
on
way,
Verizon.
That, yeah. And
it works. They all do. Yeah.
It's very similar to your 5X. It's not like it's different from your 5X, but.
That Samsung you have, what is it? S7 Edge. That has an even bigger battery than the 6P.
No, battery life on this?
Yeah.
Perfect. I get through the day. You see, it's at 91%. I took it off the charger this morning at 7. I will get to bed last night about 11. It was at 30%. No problem. Yeah. Currently, I'm getting, it says 15 hours and 30 minutes. I think that's actually low. And the key on this, the way you realize it is screen usage is very low. And that's usually what kills an Android phone is the screen, or any phone, frankly.
They finally cracked it.
They cracked it somehow. The OLED screen. And you know what? This is something you'll recognize from the 1520 is the always on screen.
Yeah. They have that on the 6P too, by the way.
No, they don't.
No, they do.
Always on.
Oh, always on.
Always on. Right. So see, in other words, you see the time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It will stay there. The time, the date, battery, notifications, that's always there, and that doesn't use the battery.
If you pick up your...
If you pick this up, it does it.
Kind of pops up,
Right, but this is always on. Like,
always on, yeah.
Yeah, didn't the 1520 do that? I seem to think that that was something.
It's the glance screen.
Glance, that was it.
Yep.
I'm sorry, we've devolved into the wrong subject. Apologies to everyone.
This has the GSM battery monitor.
This has a nut roll. This has Android nut roll on it, my 6P.
And nut roll?
That's what I call it.
Oh, did you upgrade?
Yeah, so anybody, this was another thing.
New York cheesecake, Leo.
Oh, I like that, New York cheesecake. Yeah.
What about Nutella? Did they already have a Nutella?
That's too obvious. They don't go for the obvious ones.
Nutella ever since is a brand
Kit Kat,
name.
They've been screwing around with people ever since Kit Kat.
They don't know yet what N will be, but unaccountably, they released it to the public. So if you have a Nexus, a modern Nexus device, you can put it
But is it stable enough to use?
Yeah.
Is it? Because I was going to put it on the Nexus 9, but they're holding off on that device now for some reason.
I have it on the Pixel C, and it actually makes the Pixel C usable. But here's the thing.
Well, the Nexus 9 is not usable, so why it was.
Some software complains. Instagram, every time I launch it, says, those libraries look wrong. But it's still it still runs, which is odd. So you see, it says, detected problems with app native libraries. Please consult log for detail. But then it runs. So that's the worst I've had. No crashes, nothing like that. And there may be some software.
Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I will do this.
Well, it's only reason I do it is it's fun to see.
Well,
what's
I want to write about it. There's so many new features in this thing. I want to see it, but they've
look at that.
They canceled the upgrade on the.
You
on
can
the 9.
Switch to your previous app by double tapping the recents. It's got split screen. They've got an alt tab style feature where you.
So there's like a floating app thing hidden in there too.
Yeah.
Which would be great for tablets.
Yeah. No, look, folks, we know that Windows Phone is not long for this world. And you're probably thinking, like Mary Jo, where do I go?
And I'm holding on. I'm holding on to the raft.
I know, but it's nice to have.
It's not a raft, it's a body.
Let's put it this way. While your raft is losing air, the good news is there's a boat right there.
It's a hissing sound.
It's good to have a plan
B.
There's a
speedboat with
like a boat with a banquet set and a nice comfy bed just right there.
Lots of drinks.
Stay on that raft, but it's good to have a boat next door.
You got to let go of Leonardo DiCaprio and get on the boat.
Yeah. But I do have to say, my daily driver is now the S7. The camera on this thing blows.
Yeah, the camera is supposed to be top notch. Yeah,
F1.7.
Yep.
Everything you want a phone to be, and like I said, the battery life.
Well, I'd like it to be in a different device.
And I think, by the way, that we now know it's very clear. There's no Android in Microsoft's future. They're just going down. They're going down with a ship. There's no reason for them to make phones if it's not Windows Phone.
Well, they're also doing all those alliances now, right? With all the Android vendors, they're having them preload Microsoft apps.
So that's why you should use covering Microsoft means using Android to some degree or iPhone.
It does in a way. Yeah. I know. Yep.
By the way, I have the House of Cards app. There is. On House of Cards, they start playing this game.
Oh, that's funny.
It's not a spoiler.
So
and it's a real game.
This is the new season.
Yeah, and it's a real game. And he's playing it. FU's playing it for a while. It's called Agario. And then it shows up again later in the show without any fanfare.
Because he played Xbox or PlayStation.
Yeah, he was playing Call of Duty, wasn't he?
Yeah. I can't remember, but it was a
He was playing Xbox in the first season.
Yeah.
And they bring that up again in the current season that you like games, don't you? Yes, I do. But this is the game Agario, and I thought, oh, that can't be a real game. But they spent a minute talking about it. He demoed the game, and I thought, does Kevin Spacey own a piece of this company?
That's great.
And it's not a great game, but it's kind of funny. Anyway, I have Nut Roll. And
New
Mary
York
Jo,
cheesecake.
There's no shame. There's no shame at all in using a 5X.
No,
there is
I
some
like
shame
it.
In using a Windows phone, though.
No, I like being different. I think different.
Sure. Let me be very clear. I thought Windows Phone was great.
It was great.
It is a great operating system.
You know what, though? This is not the topic to get into today, but in some ways, I'm not even positive it was a great operating system. I think there were some great ideas. And we've talked about this before, this notion of these integrated hubs that were so user-friendly and so brand-unfriendly. And no one ever adopted any of it because Facebook wants a Facebook app and Instagram wants an Instagram app. They don't want to be part of a hub, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that the coolest thing they did was to really think through smartphone circa 2010 and say, let's not just be different. Let's look at the things that aren't good elsewhere and do them right. And unfortunately, in doing that, it kind of set them down this path that was never going to be successful, and it kind of set them back. You know, it's too bad. I was so excited about Windows Phone and loved using it for many years.
You would like to have a three platform world where there's
it sounds like the right
thing. Two is too few, I think. Although we've on the desktop, we've had really 2.1.
Yeah, 2.1. Yeah, well, Windows Phone is the 0.1 on phone. You know?
We still have 2.1.
I like the idea of having the third choice.
I agree. So.
I do too. No, I do too. I think it's important. I think it keeps the other guys honest. And it's always interesting to me when you see, you know, Apple in the last version of iOS or on the latest iPhones, whatever, came out with this feature we have had on Nokia phones, and I know on other phones too, of this sort of living images kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a weird feeling because you see other people using it and seeing it and understanding it for the first time, and you're over there in the corner, and you're like, "But wait, we had that,
yeah,
you know."
I know.
And it's strange. You know,
one thing we may have learned is that three platforms is good for users, but for developers' points of view, they just don't have room for more than two.
Yep.
You know, maybe that's the issue.
Yeah.
There can be only two. You know, true in games, you're not going to have more than two consoles. Nintendo ended up being the, you know, odd man out.
Yep. Yeah, and in cases where people or developers did support the third platform in video games, for example, they would usually farm out the development of the title on different platforms based on their expertise. You know, so in the case of the Wii, for example, there would be these kind of garbagey Call of Duty ports that were made by third parties. Because they understood the Wii platform, and they were just weird and not the same.
Yeah,
you know.
Which brings us to Xbox.
Mary Jo, in deference to you, I will try to make this as quick as possible. I can't promise.
I'm going to chime in on one of these.
Oh,
yes,
good.
That's right.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, that's true. So, first of all, this happened. I guess this happened last week. It seems like this happened for the previous show, but. As part of a completely separate announcement, Microsoft basically said that they would be open to cross-network play, meaning the ability of people on an Xbox One console or a Windows 10 PC to play a video game with people on rival networks.
Yeah.
Meaning, they didn't say this, but the PlayStation Network on consoles, Steam, obviously, on PCs, and whatever else. And they've talked about cross-platform play. Cross-play, and then this cross-buy, which is this notion that could be any platforms. You buy a game on Windows Phone and you get it for free on Windows 10, or you buy a game on the Xbox and you get the Windows 10 version for free, you know, however that works. And this is part of their strategy of opening up Xbox and making it less about the number of consoles sold and making it more about this engagement across the network. And, you know, it sounded like kind of a pipe dream, but actually Sony came out this week and said, yeah, you know, we'll talk about this. I mean, they didn't fully come out and say, yeah, we're going to do this, but they said, yeah, we're open to this. We would talk to Microsoft about this. And that's kind of interesting. And so we'll see what happens there. The other one is something we've been talking about for a long, long time, which is this notion of TV DVR for the Xbox One. And I don't remember the timing of this exactly, but
please.
I know. Well, it's happening. So it is happening.
Good.
A couple years ago when the Xbox One first launched, I think at that time, or if not the spring thereafter, they released a TV capture device, a USB-based device, Xbox-branded, Microsoft-branded, but only outside of the United States. And then sometime last year, they introduced a Hopage, you know, it's like an ancient USB-based Hopage TV capture card. that would allow you, in both cases, to watch live TV on the Xbox, but not record TV. And I've heard from my sources that, you know, TV recording is coming. I've heard that there's going to be a Microsoft, or I had heard, I haven't heard on this recently, but that there would be a Microsoft-branded adapter coming to the United States, and that that was somehow tied to the ability to record TV shows. But Microsoft is now testing that capability internally, and so we should be seeing it on the Xbox preview program and then generally on Xbox One, you know, sometime soon.
Good.
Which leads us to Mary Jo's. Mary Jo just asking the common sense question brought this up today.
All right. So today I asked Paul on instant messaging. I said, why can't TV DVR come to Windows 10 then? Oh. I mean, if gaming is being, you know, tied between those two platforms and features are being shared, I said, why couldn't it?
Yeah. Right. And it could. The answer is yeah. And it's such a beautiful question.
I didn't want to ask it because of Media Center.
Right.
And I didn't want to get start that all over again. Yeah. Hopes up false.
What's this Media Center thing? Is there some kind of bad feelings there? I don't remember.
Yeah.
But you know what? If Microsoft did come out, if they brought out a universal Windows platform app for Xbox One, this is complete supposition. We're making this up. But, but what a great question, because they are converging the platforms. Yeah. There's no reason the Xbox app couldn't run on Windows 10. I mean, why not just make it available? Why not make it work with the exact same TV tuner cards or adapters or whatever? I think that's a fantastic idea. I don't think it hurts anybody. Why not do that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It never occurred to me. I just was thinking out loud.
I'm like, maybe that could happen. I don't know.
Can third parties get involved here? I mean...
Well, obviously, on the Windows side, there are third parties already doing this, and they have their own software. But, you know, the one advantage of the Microsoft stuff is that they just got the UI right. And you see the culmination of this, you know, what started as Media Center. It was an Ultimate TV. It was in other products. And now it's in Xbox One as the one guide. Is they do the scheduling UI presentation really, really well. And... I just don't understand why you wouldn't do it. You're making it for Xbox One. Of course it could work on Windows 10. Why not just do it? You know, the Windows 10 could support 4K, just like Windows 10 versions of Xbox One's games have advantages. I mean, why not just do that?
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that came off the top of Mary Jo's head. It's not something we've heard from sources or anything, but what a great question. Yeah.
Yeah, the reason I thought of it, and I won't name names, but somebody I know came back to Microsoft recently, and he had been affiliated with some TV type activities, and I was wondering.
Jeez, you're really being vague here, Mary.
He might have something to do with this. That's all just a guess.
Wow. All right. A TV network or similar? Nothing.
Type.
All right.
Apparently.
I won't pry.
Paul and Mary Jo might have some ideas who that might be. I don't know.
Already up. Bring back Media Center. See? This is happening.
You started it. It's your fault.
There you go. I would. By the way, everyone should direct those requests to @ Mary Jo Foley on Twitter. And here's her cell phone.
It does raise the question, though. If Microsoft insisted that nobody use this, and yet we hear from every one of them.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
Still.
Yeah. Still. So
they're very loyal users.
Yeah. So
well, you know, and the thing is, it worked so well. It still does, really. I mean, that's why. I mean, I think there are people out there kind of still holding a candle for Zune, which frankly I don't kind of get anymore. Windows Phone, I think we're getting past the point of freshness a little bit. But Media Center is one of those things. I mean, when Mary Jo said this about the TV DVR on Windows, I thought, yes, of course. Of course. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
All right. That was quick. I thought we were going to go on and on, but...
No. There's other stuff. You know, Rise of the Tomb Raider is getting 4K support and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's
blah.
Nice.
I don't want to beat the Xbox.
I'm one of those foolish people who's using an Xbox One as a you know, media pass-through. And that's how I watch TV. And I would love to see DVR functionality. That'd be fantastic.
I just bought another Xbox One and put it in the living room.
Did you really?
Kind of, yeah.
Just to pile on, huh?
I did it because I figured if I bought it, then they would release the smaller, slimmer, quieter, you know, media version.
Yeah, that makes
right
sense.
Afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you know, how my
the,
life goes,
the big so. Story from GDC, the Game Developers Conference,
is that they just announced a...
Is that PlayStation, PS4, has a VR helmet.
Yeah,
they're going to release in October for $300. And with 38 million installed units, that could end up being the VR winner this year anyway.
Yep. And I've always, you know, this HoloLens stuff, I think in some ways has distracted Microsoft. I feel like they still
they're
need
a long they're playing a long bet game. Long
yeah,
game,
and right? I get it, but I feel like they're missing out because VR is big on gaming. And I think it's a natural thing to do on a console. I think it's the and I think they will do it. I think they're, you know, we're going to hear something about that this year, but you know, PlayStation is just moving forward so quickly.
Yeah.
Yep. So, on that note, I've also added a PS4 to my office, so, you know.
Ah, see, that's the one, you know. I mean, I don't have one, and I made the choice. The irony, of course, is, and nobody's brought this up to my knowledge, but at least some of those people bought PS4 because it was $100 cheaper than the Xbox One. I think you can cross those people off the list who'll pay $300 for a VR headset.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's compared to the pricing on Oculus Rift.
Well,
yes.
It's $3,000. But right, that's no, just well, the developer's I mean, edition.
Developer the HoloLens. Yeah.
HoloLens, I thought. Oh, Oculus Rift is $600, right? And then Vive
is $800. But it also requires a hefty computer.
Yeah, a computer no one has.
Yes. So
somebody was just telling me, I don't know, you might know the percentage better, but somebody's just telling me the percentage of people who have Oculus-ready PCs is single digits.
Sure.
I mean, I know none of my Windows machines would. I had to get a whole new computer built just to do it. So, you know, that's not going to promote the Oculus Rift. Hey, let me promote storage, though, and a lot of it. I am holding in my hand the Drobo Mini, and I love this device. You know Drobo. We've talked about Drobos for years, and it really was the very first kind of massive USB storage that gave you disk redundancy in a better kind of RAID. And they've just, you know, beyond RAID, they call it. And it's just gotten better and better and better. And now this is my newest Drobo. I've had many, many Drobos. This one is awesome. This allows you, as with all Drobos, the magnetic front panel that removes, and you can easily, while the drive is on, hot swap in and out extra storage drives. The Mini supports as many as four, you know, laptop-sized drives. And one of the things about Beyond RAID is it can mix and match. So they don't have to all be the same size. In a normal RAID, the smallest drive would determine the size of all the other drives. That's not good. I love this ability to just pop in another drive when you need it. You don't have to fully populate it. The front panel will give you colored lights that tell you all sorts of things about the operation of the Drobo, including when you need to add another drive or expand the existing drive. They also, on the Mini and many of the Drobos, they have this, which I love. You can install an SSD in here to speed up reads and writes for small files. I love this. Drobo just added to the high end. This is the Mini, which I love. And it's like kind of a travel drive for photographers and videographers. It's a, you know, massive 8 terabytes of storage, up to 8 terabytes of storage. And you just can pack it in your drive, pack it in your suitcase, and you've got it there. But now listen to the Drobo B810i. If you want massive storage, this is an 8-bay iSCSI SAN with data-aware tiering, and it offers storage capacities usually, you know, you'd find in a more expensive enterprise SAN solution. Drobo. Here's a trivia. Do you remember where the name Drobo came from? They were originally Data Robotics. Data Robotics. So the new 8-bay iSCSI SAN array. In fact, with the 8 drives in there, that means you could go up to, what, 32 terabytes of storage? This is so... I mean, I just want one. It'd be so cool. Rack-mounted availability, of course. And one of the things about Drobo is they're so reliable because data received by your Drobo isn't and not yet written is protected if there's a sudden power loss. And Drobos have that internal EUSB device I showed you where data is copied if there's a power failure. Actually, no, that's different from the one I showed you. And all Drobos have that. Data-aware tiering means it automatically tiers frequently used transactional data, I'm reading now, from stored data that's seldom used. So that lets you consolidate storage resources and share the storage across all connected clients and their applications. You can access physical and virtual storage in a single array with the on-demand ability to scale for both capacity and performance as you need it. Smart volumes mean you can create up to 255 individual drives with a maximum capacity of 64 terabytes each. This is why you use a SAN, right? Provisioned as necessary. No more guessing how big to make each volume. You just spin it up when you need it. Two iSCSI ports for up to 2 gigabits. 2x gigabit performance, Ethernet performance, when you use MPIO in a Microsoft environment. You can use it for collaboration. That's how we would use it. In fact, that's how we will use it for the editors. Testing, development, backup, running Microsoft Exchange, or more. Perfect for small or medium-sized businesses that don't have dedicated IT support. It's a great solution. And, of course, like all Drobo devices, that Beyond RAID technology lets you expand it on the fly and mix and match drives. iSCSI, Ethernet, USB 3. This one, this Drobo Mini, has Thunderbolt, too, which this is why I got it. I love the Thunderbolt. So you want to know more? Drobo.com/twit. You'll learn more about the Drobo B810i and check out, of course, the complete line of Drobo drives. And when you order a B810i, and I'm talking to this is the big shops, the ones that need that big storage. Between now and April 30th, 2 free 2-terabyte hard drives included. And that's not all. When you use the offer code TWIT100, TWIT100, we're going to give you $100 off the purchase of the B810i or other select Drobo models. What an amazing company. They're just killing it. Love my Drobo. You will too. Drobo.com/twit. Don't forget TWIT100 to save $100. We thank Drobo so much for their support of Windows Weekly. And they wanted to talk to Windows users specifically about this new B810i. Because it has all that support for MPIO and all that. Paul Thurrott now with...
Hi.
Hey. Wake
what
up.
What have I done?
Hey.
It wasn't me.
Time for the back of the book.
Yes, it is.
The back of the book, my friend. Tip of the week.
All right, my tip of the week is Microsoft is going to be having a Gears of War 4 multiplayer beta. Look at me saying R's and not saying R's on A's. In April, and it's on the Xbox One only, and to qualify for this beta, for early access to the beta, all you need to do is play Gears of War Ultimate Edition on Xbox One or Windows 10 before the end of the month.
I have
it. And then you can get
it.
Yeah, just play the game once, and you're in. That's
nice.
It. And if you don't want to do that, you can actually wait, and then through, I think it's a week in, anybody can join into the beta and check out the next Gears of War.
That's nice. All you have to do is play Gears of War Ultimate Edition once.
And you can play it more.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Very simple.
Yeah, that's easy.
I like it. Good tip.
And then I guess I have two software picks. The first one is something called OneNote Importer. I'm kind of shocked Microsoft waited
so
long to have this.
So happy.
It's kind of a strange combination of things. It's very basic on the face of things. It's a OneNote Importer is a way to import your Evernote notes into OneNote. The interesting thing about it is you don't actually need Evernote or OneNote installed on your PC for this thing to work, but you do need to have exported your Evernote notes using Evernote. And it will actually just go from that local file up to the cloud, and then Evernote notes will be in
I'm a huge Evernote user, and I see no reason not to migrate to OneNote since it's everywhere now, including my smartphone.
Yeah. Yep. I love OneNote.
We know that. By the way, Mary Jo gives credit for this. She told you about this.
She did not.
She did. That's yeah.
She said she did not.
No, you. I think I found out about this from you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He reads your column.
What?
And
you actually
tweets.
Read what I write? What?
Yes.
Well, no. Let's not get crazy.
Okay.
No, I'm kind of a stalker, Mary Jo. It's weird. No, I think I saw you had mentioned it, and that's how I found out about it.
Yep. Nice. So I'm going to be firing one up my Surface Book right now to export Evernote and download the importer, and it'll be in OneNote. That'll be nice.
I think if you have Evernote installed locally, it will just work.
Oh, I don't need to manually export first.
I don't think so. I think that's just if you don't have it installed in that PC, it will accept the
So it's a true importer. It'll just find the data.
I believe so. I believe so. I switched to OneNote so long ago, I don't really have an Evernote thing to test on anymore.
Yeah, and as soon as my Surface Book wakes up from this orange screen of death.
No, that's a little thing moving in there. It's fine.
You see the flickering?
Yeah.
This is not
going epilepsy. What are you doing?
I've had this happen
this
before.
This is like a John Carpenter movie.
I've had this happen before. This means I have to reset.
Well, anyway, the Surface Book problems are fixed, Leo, so I'm not really sure what the point is you're trying to make.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Paul.
Sorry. Another satisfied customer. This just happened right before we started the show, but LastPass has released an authenticator app for Android and iOS. And
oh, interesting.
Microsoft has them. Google has them. So why would you need yet another authenticator app? Well, actually, this one looks pretty special. I've not tested this yet, but based on their little introductory video and their website, it supports three different methods of authentication. Oh. And one of them is that kind that I really like from the Microsoft app on Android only, where you get a notification on the phone and you click accept on the phone instead of having to type in a code. And that is awesome. So as soon as this show's over, I'm going to install this on my Android and iOS phones and see if that is in fact the case. I believe it is. It looks great. And, you know, everybody, you know, LastPass is
It wouldn't be two-factor if the last... See, 1Password has an authenticator built into 1Password. I don't use it because then that kind of obviates the idea of two-factor, right? But let I'll have to see how they implement it. These guys are smart. Yo, it is right in there. LastPass. Bingo. Yeah. Oh, that's kind of cool. So, makes it easier for...
Yeah. So Microsoft actually offers that same functionality in, I think it's called the Microsoft Account app.
Yeah, and I use that.
But it only works with Microsoft accounts. Right. So if you need two-factor authentication in other services like Dropbox, LastPass, Twitter, whatever, you have to type in a code. So it doesn't work the same way for all account types. I believe the LastPass one, it's the first I've seen and from a company that I trust, that offers that form of authentication. And that's, to me, is the easiest way to do it. So I'm going to test this when the show's over. I believe that's what it does. It looks good. Something to think about. And that's it for the pick. So, Leo, I have a favor to ask you if you're interested in helping with this.
As long as it doesn't require a working Surface Book, I'm in.
All right. No, this should just, I think all you need is a web browser, right? So if you were going to generate a random number, how would you do that?
If I were going to generate a random number, I would use the RND function in one of my many programming languages that I have lying around.
All right. So we don't have that much time. So would you agree that...
or I would toss the dice. There's a website that does this.
How about random.org?
Yes, that's it. Okay. In fact, this has been around for ages. I've used this before.
Yeah. I use this when I do things like this. So we had a... let me find the page. We had a survey up on throughout.com a couple of months ago. We wanted people to come in and take a survey about the site, see what they wanted to change. Unfortunately, I'll be leaving the site now because of this. No.
we want so you we out.
Yeah. It would be fine if Paul wasn't there. And so we had, it was 5,188 entries, and we're going to award a free Surface Book. I think it's a Surface Pro 4. Yes, a Surface Pro 4 to one of those people.
Oh, nice.
But so if you will generate a number,
from one
I will find it in the spreadsheet.
23,562, because I'm sure you got a great many entries. And the 273, you're a wiener. Sorry, so the idea, this is not a PNRG, a pseudo-random number generator. Well, it probably is, but it's seeded with a good seed.
Yeah, yeah.
So you want they have 1.25 trillion random bits that they have generated now. So that's nice. They even have like lottery quick picks and keynote quick picks and a coin flipper.
Leo, you're not staying focused here.
Oh, sorry. So, how about the American voting coin? Let's flip that.
Nope. We need. So, Mary Jo, maybe you could help me with this thing I'm trying to do.
I can pick a number between 1 and 2.
1 and 2? How many entries did you have, Paul?
5,188.
Nice. Wow. So, are we actually going to do this for real?
Yeah. Why not?
Oh, let's do it. All right. Well, I'll pull up the page again. So, say how many?
188. And so, whatever number this is, I'm going to find it in the spreadsheet and tell you who it is.
So this is the number of rows in the spreadsheet. We don't start with zero then. It starts with one.
That's right. Yeah.
And I need a drum roll. Press the generate button, and this is an official no man in the middle attack.
Yep.
The winner is 259.
It would have been really funny if it was exactly the same number from last time.
It would have been.
Way.
Thank goodness. It's off by a little bit.
All right. Let me scroll through this ginormous spreadsheet and find 259.
Nice.
Wow.
It's, I can't see the exact name, but it's D. Bachelor.
Congratulations.
D-A-T-C-H-E-L-O-R. And we'll contact him via email.
He's married to D. Bachelorette.
All right. Well, thank you for doing that.
That's great. So that was, everybody saw it.
Yep, it was real.
It was real. I didn't fake it. I've never met a man named D. Bachelor in my life.
Yep, neither
have I. So there
good to know. But
that is cool. No, random.org. I actually have used that before. That's a good way to do it. Yeah. And it's from the School of Computer Science and Statistics of Trinity College Dublin. It's been around since 1998. So
yeah,
there you go.
We did a Microsoft signature study back in December, and we used this to determine the winners. We had a PC giveaway, an Xbox One. We had some screens and some other things. So it's nice.
Mods Ha. This came from the Randomness and Integrity Services Limited of Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, they would say that.
By the way, just checking. Mm-hmm. I started it up again. Let's just see how it's still the orange screen of death.
By the way, Business Insider is reporting that Xbox One is going to get the ability to run Windows 10 universal apps later this summer.
Wow.
With the Xbox Store and Windows Store being merged into one store.
Ooh.
It's about time for that, right? The one store.
They've said they were doing that.
For years.
Yeah, Microsoft will reveal more information about how those apps will work on Xbox One at Build 2016.
Nice.
It's good.
Now it's time for Mary Jo Foley and her Enterprise Pick of the Week.
Yes, this had to be my Enterprise Pick of the Week. It's all about SharePoint.
Yay.
Yay. That didn't sound like a big yay, but yay.
Yay.
SharePoint Server 2016 actually was released to manufacturing this week. Interestingly, that team still says RTM, unlike many teams at Microsoft. That product RTM'd, as did Project Server 2016 and also the Office Online Server. All of those things are together part of SharePoint 2016 on-prem. Now, the weird part about this is you can't actually get the products until May, even though they've RTM'd. Microsoft said it will be available to volume licensees as of early May. Probably the same is true of MSDN and TechNet. Although I couldn't get them to actually say that. And this date in May, there's a date, May 4th, when Microsoft is holding a virtual event about the future of SharePoint and OneDrive for Business. You can sign up for that on a website. That event is called The Future of SharePoint. And I think they're trying to time the actual availability of the bits with that so they can call it the launch event. But it still does seem odd to me that you can only right now get a version of a trial of the final version of SharePoint Server 2016. But that's the case. If you want to try it out, I have a link in my blog post to the RTM trial version. But you can't get the actual bits to deploy in your org till sometime in May.
Okay.
There you SharePoint, go. SharePoint
2016 is here.
And by the way, yes. Sorry to interrupt real quick. Richard Hay told me on Twitter that, and I knew this and completely zoned on it, that Authenticator app from LastPass will be available on Windows Phone as well, or Windows 10 Mobile.
Thank
so
you.
So it's
LastPass.
Not there now, but it is coming
soon. That's
awesome.
Soon. That's really good.
Thank
news.
You,
that's
Richard, great. For that. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
See? I'm going to give you your shoelaces back, Paul.
Just when I was going to jump off the cliff and I just, tripped. And
see, yeah. You're thinking it
Thank
over.
Goodness, a reprieve from the governor.
Yep.
And our code name pick of the week.
Code name pick of the week is Infopedia. And this is a code name that Microsoft first used last year, almost a year ago exactly. It was for a coming knowledge management portal for Office 365. So Microsoft has all these different portals they're introducing for Office 365. There's a video portal. There's a new reporting portal that just got announced this week. But this one, this Infopedia one, this knowledge management one, I've had a few people ask me, what's up with that? They talked it up last year at Ignite, and we've heard nothing since. So I've heard from my contacts that this Infopedia portal's not dead, but it's on hold for some reason, and I'm not sure what that means. And I am betting that at that May 4th event, we may hear more about what's going on with that. I think there's some, right now there's some overlap in functionality around SharePoint and Office Groups and Office Graph. They're kind of trying to figure out all these pieces right now. So I think we'll hear more relatively soon about the knowledge management portal, which is codenamed Infopedia.
Good news.
Good news.
Would you like
yeah.
to drink some beer right now?
Yes.
Perhaps. And, you know, given what day it is tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot. Do you have something green? You wouldn't drink green beer under any circumstances.
I have.
Really?
I have drank green beer before.
I'm not sure we'll do anything for the untapped check-in.
I would.
Is there a green beer?
You've had green beer.
Yeah.
That's got to be an award.
I
mean,
I wonder if it is.
Could be good beer, but I would bet if you're dying beer green, you're going to use Bud Light or something.
I guarantee drinking a beer on St. Patrick's Day is an achievement in Untappd.
For sure it is.
All right.
It is. So my proposition to all of you listening to Windows Weekly is, you know, you could drink a Guinness tomorrow. Yeah. That's going to be the easy choice. But why not drink something that's called an Irish dry stout? That's actually a beer style.
I love that you're turning up the difficulty level on this. It's like going to the moon is not hard, is not easy. That's why we're doing it.
Well, this is why I didn't make it a succinct beer pick, because this style, which is called Irish dry stout, there are a lot of them. They're available all over the world. The one that I've had before on the East Coast here is from Cigar City Brewing in Florida. It's called Patio Tools Dry Irish Stout.
Great name. Yeah.
But there are a lot of them. Schlafly has one.
Patio Tools. Get it?
Patio Tools. I didn't get it right away. They say Irish style stout is a low gravity stout. What does that mean? Not heavy, not thick?
Man, gravity and beer. I should know this off the top of my head, but I do not. And we'll hear from listeners who do.
Between 30 and 40 IBUs. Is that too bitter?
Right, not too bitter. IBUs are international bittering units. So that means not a bitter beer, not a hoppy beer also. Yeah. There should be no hops in the flavor or the aroma, according to the definition.
Okay.
It's just, you know, kind of a light, easy drinking style of stout that's fairly bitter. Just like kind of along the lines of what you'd expect with a Guinness, except a little more probably bitter, roasty kind of flavor, I would say. So there are many of them. Ask your local bartender when you're out tomorrow having a pseudo green beer if they have any dry Irish stouts and you can try one.
Ask your local bartender.
Great. Because you all have one, I'm sure.
Yes. You know, we should. You got a barber. You got a lawyer.
Yep.
You got a baker. You ought to have a bartender.
You should.
It's your own personal tender. The usual, Matty Joe. The usual.
Oh, yeah. They know me. I read
a description, by the way, of beer gravity, and I don't understand it.
Apparently, it's related to alcohol. Right?
It refers to the total amount of dissolved solids in water. And because it's beer, those solids are sugars. And sugars are consumed by yeast to convert the wort into beer.
It's related to gravity, to alcohol, but not exactly.
Oh, definitely, because the more sugar that's in the higher alcohol it's going to be.
Yeah,
it's something homebrewers should really, like Russell would know about this. It's something homebrewers who make large quantities take into account when they're brewing beer. They actually have a thing that looks like a barometer almost, and they can check
So it is actually specific gravity. It's the density and effect of the beer.
It is.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. People are getting all excited because it says the Surface Book is up. Yeah, because I shut it down, but now it's doing the other bad thing it does, which is I can't find you. I can't see you. I end up turning on the camera. Okay, yeah, it's booting up. But I mean, that usually does fix it. But
yeah.
The fact that you have to do this
more than once every day. Every day. It's not a bad unit. Of course, it's too late to return it. But I'm a sad, sad puppy. But I must admit, my Linux that I put on my Dell is just fabulous. Really love
Leo,
it.
Seriously. Jeez.
Jeez, Leo. You have seen our new show, Linux Today. No, I wouldn't do that to you.
No.
I wouldn't do that to you.
No, but I'd love to be a guest star in that show.
You should.
So do I can ask those people.
Have you ever used Linux?
What the hell is wrong with them? Yeah, no, many times.
Yeah,
In fact, actually, when Mint Linux came out, the most recent version,
it's good.
I did check
it's
it
great.
Out.
It's really good. I've, for complex and certainly not appropriate on this show reasons, moved back from Mint Linux to Ubuntu, which is based on, for security reasons, I think it's the right thing to do. But you can install the Cinnamon desktop, and then you're just it looks exactly like it's Mint Linux. It's indistinguishable from Mint Linux. But that really isn't a tip for this show, is it?
No, no. I'm probably not going to be writing that one up.
Don't write that one up. Okay, Paul. For April Fools.
Oh, man.
Yep.
I think therot.com
Linux tip of the
goes
week.
Linux.
Linux
tip,
yeah.
Tip of the week.
Do, like all the things you would usually do.
Yeah, but do it for other
but
things.
Do it for Linux.
Or the Mac or whatever.
Of course, the new Firefox phone.
Yep.
We could do wine pick of the week.
There is an Ubuntu. Yeah. Do maybe not wine, like sarsaparilla.
Non-alcoholic beer.
Rum pick of the week. Paul's rum diaries.
Paul's rum of the rum of the week. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley.
I never understood alcoholism, by the way, until I had rum, and now
rum
I get it.
Oh yeah.
Now I get it.
Rum is awesome.
Now I'm on board.
Oh, you could be a rum hound.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. Rum's going to destroy me.
What kind of rum are you drinking these days?
There's a local rum. It's crazy that it's from Massachusetts, but it is so perfect. It's it's from Privateer. They have a silver and an amber rum,
it's
but
well
the silver
named.
Rum, which is
you like silver.
Yes, I don't like the
you
other one's
like
fine.
Sweet.
It's fine.
Yeah.
The silver one, which is just has no extra
smooth,
taste from barrels or whatever. It's just it's wonderful.
Smooth drinking.
Yep.
Oh, for April Fools, they say you should, Mary Jo, you should put O'Doul's as your beer pick of the week.
Oh, man.
There you go. That would be funny.
And I should do an Xbox pick of the week that week,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, that would be great.
As it happens, our April Fools show will be a live broadcast from Build.
Know. Yep.
So who knows what'll happen.
Should my enterprise.
I might reveal my gamer tag.
Flight simulator. You can play in Excel.
Mary Jo's gamer tag.
I'm gonna reveal my gamer tag. Yeah. On the show.
And it'll turn out like she's got Prestige 11 and
right. What do you mean you're? Yeah, she's the Call of Duty Grandmaster.
All this time,
like the angel
All
of
this
death
time,
at Call
I've been
of
pretending.
Duty.
It's like when you talk French in front of people and thinking they don't understand it, and then they.
Oh, by the way, I'm bilingual.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I grew up in Canada. I know French. Mary Jo Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's her blog where she files all the time with the best scoops, best information about what's going on inside that high castle in Redmond.
Yeah.
Paul Thurrott is the best at Thurrott.com. Great help, how-to, information, Thurrott.com. He is an advocate for Windows users everywhere. Between the two of them, there's no better, and that's why we do this show every week. Wednesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. As some of you noted, California has weirdly entered summertime. And so if you watch in a country or state that has not, you probably got confused a little bit. We started a little bit earlier than you expected. We are 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Those are both daylight time. And if you are, if you know what time you are relative to UTC, all you need to know is it's 1800 UTC, and it will be for the rest of the summer. 1800 UTC. If you want to tune in live, if
Sorry,
not,
I find time to be hilarious for some reason.
it's insane.
Yep.
Stop the madness. StopDST.com. A little plug there. However, We do make on-demand versions available for you for people who are unable to calculate the time change. You can download audio and video from twit.tv/WW. That's the website, our website. All our shows are available on demand, audio and video. Or get your favorite podcatcher and subscribe there. We got Twit apps on every platform. I can give you a long tale of woe. We were going to develop our own apps. We spent $60,000 before we realized the company that we had hired had no idea what they were doing.
Yeah.
So, and I
think they put my roof in.
Yeah. Well, I told Lisa, yeah, that's okay because we have these great, you know, fans who've developed apps on every platform, including Dimitri Lialin does that great app on Windows Phone, and he's doing a new Universal Windows app for us.
We're going to see him at Build, by the way.
Good. Dimitri, come by. Say hi. So we just kind of tabled our apps because I don't want to spend any more money on nothing. I'll tell you that story someday. But that's good news is that there's plenty of apps out there. 5 apps on Apple TV. In fact, in a way, I kind of feel better because I don't want to undermine those nice indie developers who are doing such a good job with our own official apps. So there you go. Oh, it's fun to own a business.
Mm.
It doesn't seem fun from far away.
No, it does not.
It's expensive. It's not. Yeah. It is fun. It's just expensive. See you next week. Windows Weekly.